Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with a very interesting interview. So, as you may have heard in previous episodes, or if this is your first episode, howdy, you're learning this now. I am trying to experiment with more things that are outside of my comfort zone, spiritually. It doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily follow or believe in everything that I try out. But it does mean that I am giving some things a shot that I would normally dismiss. So this episode is actually all about essential oils. There are environmental concerns with essential oils that we did not actually cover in this episode. However, I'll be interviewing, or I did already interview, one of my oldest friends. Her name is Lisa, and she does have a doTERRA affiliation, but she doesn't really sell them on her own. She could, if you wanted to, you know, have a purchase benefit someone directly, reach out to me in my emails and I will hook you up with Lisa. But this episode is not a doTERRA infomercial. In fact, it doesn't even really cover a lot of the spiritual benefits of essential oils. It's more about safety and how to pick a good one. I feel that a lot of choice about essential oil use is really up to a particular person's needs and experience as far as spiritual stuff goes. And I really wanted to talk to someone whose opinion I trust, because Lisa, besides being one of my oldest friends, is very smart, very pragmatic, and she is happy to incorporate more, you know, FDA regulated medicine as opposed to simply relying on alternative remedies. Although, like many people, she and I have both been failed by healthcare providers missing or refusing to even look for certain issues that were plaguing us. And that has had real consequences for us. So as a result, now I'm a nurse, and she had tends to work within actual medical fields herself in a way. But we're definitely open to exploring other options, because sometimes it's a good first start. As long as you're incorporating something more alternative with something that's actually proven to work, when you have that as an option. Not everyone has, you know, an actual thing that works for them for their issues. So again, this is sort of me venturing outside of my comfort zone with a subject that I don't normally touch. And I think we just had a lot of fun chatting, and I hope that you'll have fun listening to us. So without any further ado, here is my interview on essential oils with Lisa. Actually, I lied. One more quick note. This interview I recorded was one of the first things I recorded with my new Blue Yeti microphone. I'm still kind of learning how this bad boy works, so the sound quality might be not where it's expected to be, and I do apologize for that, but it should be audible. Working out the kinks. I have some great interviews planned, so by the time I have more, it will work itself out. It's an experiment, like all the other things. All right, enjoy the interview, and you'll hear from me at the end. All right, I am here today with Lisa Fucci.
Hello.
She is one of my oldest friends, and I brought her on today because I wanted to chat about essential oils, which I am sort of agnostic about. I kind of like essential oils in the same way that I like crystals, in which, you know, I think that they can be definitely psychologically useful. But part of why I wanted Lisa to come on today is because I know that she's not anti-science like a lot of people who are super into oils are. So I guess I'm going to let Lisa have the mic and have her chat about herself, and we'll just keep chatting.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, I really like science. Science is great. penicillin is wonderful, and I'm really glad that I'll never get polio. I vaccinate my child, and I believe in going to the doctor when you're sick, and I think science is amazing. I also consider myself like part hippie and crunchy, though. Like, I cloth diapered, and I breastfed, and I made my own baby food, and I like essential oils. I think that there's a lot of rules you should follow with them, like any single thing that you want to put in your body. I think you should really treat them like part of your medicine cabinet and use them safely and wisely.
And like tell your doctor if you're using them.
Yeah.
If you're ingesting them especially. I know you're not really supposed to. I know I've read some things about not supposed to be ingesting them, but I know some people do.
I mean, there's a lot of controversy around essential oils. There's not a lot of FDA testing around them because, well, like I said, a lot of different reasons. Big pharma is a big thing, and it exists. But there's
for better and for worse, often for worse.
Yes, sometimes but for no. Then again, you know, insulin's a really important thing to have in your life
we
if
like
you
insulin.
Have diabetes. So there's a lot of controversy around it. It's something you really have to do a lot of research on. You should never go into something like that blindly, the same way I would hope you wouldn't just go to the store and pick up diet pills blindly, or even like vitamins. You can overdose on vitamin D. You can overdose on water. So you really have to be careful about anything you put on or in your body. That said, there's a lot of different brands of essential oils that I would recommend. There's a lot that I wouldn't.
Like, what do you need to look for? If you're trying to, because, you know, if you type in essential oils on Amazon or you go to a store that sells them, you're going to get lot of stuff.
My first thought with that would be don't go to Amazon. Don't go to any place online that sells mass things.
Even if you, like, are looking for a specific brand?
Unfortunately, most of the really third-party tested, pure, and remember, anybody can write pure.
She's making air quotes, by the way. As she's saying pure, her fingers are going.
Well, you can say anything you want on a bottle, right? You can say organic, you can say pure, you can say all these things. Again, you have to do your research. So most of the essential oils that go through extensive third-party testing, and you can actually look up and see what's in the actual bottle, when it was bottled, what it comes from. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, they're MLM companies or direct sales because they have the resources and the money to do that. And that's what they form their business around. We're the real deal. Buy from us. I'm sure there are companies out there that
I think
are
there's
small and we
Aura,
don't know
Aura
about.
Acacia is one that's in the drugstores a lot.
There's actually a lot of them in the drugstores. You can buy oil.
But that's the
like
one that
CVS.
I've seen. You're right. That's the one I often see at CVS. Right. I mean, I've seen some like knockoffs too that are very obviously like I'm not trusting anything in that bottle. But this one, I'm just curious if you knew that brand because that's one I've seen in a lot of drugstores.
I'm sure I've seen it before. I've probably never really examined it closely. But like if you're going to buy an essential oil off the rack, basically, there are a couple things I would look for. One, does it have an expiration date? Because everything expires. If it doesn't have an expiration date, I don't trust that what's in it is actually what's supposed to be in it.
Or stuff like lot numbers.
Yes, that helps. The serial code, also a good thing to see. You want an ingredient list. There are some oils that just say like frankincense on the front, but they have no ingredient list. The only thing that should be in there, it should say frankincense. If you get lemon, all you should see is lemon peel. And a lot of these bottles that you can get anywhere that are incredibly inexpensive, like frankincense is really hard to process and bottle. That's going to be $50 to $80 for a decent bottle. If you
see
frankincense for $12, that's not frankincense. There's also no law that says that what goes in the bottle has to be like legitimately pulled from the earth. Lavender can be synthetically made. They don't have to tell you that. Your body is going to react differently to it. So if you're not buying oils from a source that third-party test that lets you look up where it was bottled, that you know is literally just the things on the ingredient list, you might not want to actually consume it. It's probably not terrible to diffuse it. If you use a bunch of coconut oil, it's probably okay to topically apply it. But I wouldn't be putting that on my children. I wouldn't be diffusing it around my pets. who you have to be careful what oils you put around them anyway. Oh,
so what oils, I guess we're gonna be a little tangential here, but like what oils do you need to be careful? Because I know a lot of my listeners have fur babies.
There's a lot of oils you need to be careful with. Most of the furs you should be very, very careful
with. F-I-R.
F-I-R. Furs, like Douglas furs. There's a couple other ones. Any oil that's really very strong, feel like I wouldn't put oregano on pets. I would definitely not straight, and by straight I mean undiluted. I would be careful around mints with pets, but you can eucalyptus is another one. I think that's one of the ones you really don't want to have around pets. That's a really easy thing to Google, actually. If you take away like the articles that say never do it to your pets and you filter those out, there's a lot of oils that work really well. Vetiver is a great oil for sleep. It's this real thick, viscous oil, and it smells kind of like maple and smoke. It's almost like a grilling outdoor smell, and it's really, really thick, and it's something I love on my feet at night for sleep, and it's something I use on my son because lavender wakes him up because he's a weird kid like that. Benadryl wakes him up too.
At the people have those what's it called? There's totally a word for it that I'm blanking on. But like basically like not adverse reactions, but like
opposite reactions.
There's a word that I'm blanking on because I'm not in full nurse mode yet.
he's definitely weird like that. But vetiver, if you use it on your pets during like Independence Day fireworks time, it really.
So you said you talked about diluting it. How do you dilute?
Any carrier oil. So coconut oil is the most popular because it's super inexpensive. It's really easy to use. You want fractionated coconut oil, or you can actually get the giant tub of it for cooking and just melt it down. The problem with that is that because it's not fractionated, once it cools off a little, it will harden again.
Well, you can kind of make a salve like that.
Right? Yes, you can make salves. You can make scrubs for your faces, all kinds of stuff. I just buy my coconut oil online on Amazon. It's just coconut oil. It's easy to get. You get big bottle with a pump, use it for everything. But some people have tree and nut allergies, and even though coconut isn't really considered part some people of that, you can use olive oil, you can use grapeseed oil, you can use avocado oil.
I like grapeseed oil. My old roommate used to use that a lot for diluting oils because she liked oils, but it goes rancid so quick.
It's not easy to keep very fresh, and some of those like avocado oil can be really expensive. Olive oil is sort of thicker, like it stays around longer, it's greasier. So coconut oil, if you can do it, is the easiest thing to do. And then you just dilute. So like for little babies, honestly, I would probably wait a few months before I used any oils topically on an infant. But not everybody does. Again, it's a controversial thing because we can't do a lot of gigantic testing on it because the FDA doesn't want it. However, the FDA also says oregano is actually a really good bacteria killer. There have been all these studies on oregano.
Yeah, there's lots of, I mean, as a health professional myself, I do believe in holistic approaches to things. I know that there are some studies that show that especially parents who opt for holistic treatment in tandem with conventional medicine, they often don't follow the conventional medicine as well. But that's a study kind of thing. That's you know, there's a lot of factors in that. It doesn't mean that you can't use a more homeopathic, I don't like the term homeopathic, I like holistic.
I don't either.
Homeopathy is I don't trust homeopathy, but for holistic stuff, I think you can do it smartly.
And I think you just have to be open to it. Like I'm a very skeptical person. I know you're like, oh my God, she's talking about essential oils. How could she be skeptical? But I really am. I'm very suspicious about everyone and everything. And I stumbled into oils not because I was looking for them. They were gifted to me. My cousin got tired of seeing me complain about migraines online. It's all I did because I've suffered migraines for forever. I have a bad immune system. I used to miss the number of days I would miss from work every year is astronomical because I was always sick. I have a crappy immune system. I get sick easily. I get sick for a long time. And
her fingers disappear when it's cold.
Yeah, I have brain odds. I have circulatory. So I'm like I got issues. And I know there's no quick fix for that.
And you've been burned before by stuff like those belladonna injections.
Yes, I had to take belladonna when I was a kid. I had Botox done in my hands to try and get rid of my hyperhidrosis. Like, I've just had a slew of things. And it's, but the migraines are the worst thing for me because they're unearned hangovers. They just feel like the hangover you didn't deserve. And I have done a lot of things for them. I got a dot piercing in my ear, and that actually helped a lot. I did acupuncture for a while, which helped, but is never, pretty much never covered by insurance, and it's expensive, but it did help me a lot. But I couldn't keep up with it. It just wasn't sustainable. I changed my diet. I did all the things you're supposed to do, but if a big storm comes in, I'm really, I always get big tension migraine headaches whenever there's a big system. I can't do anything to stop the weather. Like, I'm not a god. I can't do a rain dance. I can't make it stop. Doesn't work. So those are the worst for me. And I complained too many times. So she sent me a big thing sampler pack.
Was it from a particular company or?
That one was from doTERRA.
Was it from doTERRA? Do you still sell doTERRA?
I'm one of the...
Do you technically sell doTERRA, but you're not, like, super about
I'm
it?
I'm not active about it. I actually found it less stressful for me to just have fun and talk about it and do it more educationally.
Well, if you're looking to sell... Do you still technically sell them?
I would probably connect them. On Facebook, we have a page called The Oil Invaders, or just Oil Invaders. And it's a great group because we can just talk about it. It's not pressure-y, and it's just, hey... What have you found helps with this?
Well, I'm trying to point my listeners in a direction.
I appreciate that. I personally prefer doTERRA over all the other brands. However, there are other brands out there that are, I would say, legitimate. I don't know. I haven't tried and tested them all. That would be crazy. That's way too much work. I've heard Green Mountain is really good, and I've done some research on them. You know, Young Living is one of those. Young Living and doTERRA are constantly in a war because... doTERRA came from Young Living, and it's a war. It's a political war. I don't think Young Living is terrible. I don't think they smell as good, but that's just because they farm in the United States mostly. They buy their plots. doTERRA goes where things grow best, and I just think that's a smart thing to do, and I like the company.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to that. Like, it's nice to, you know, try not to exploit as much labor.
Well, doTERRA also goes and, like, builds hospitals and stuff and employs people there. They don't hire people to their company. They, like, hire farmers and say, this is what we want you to do, and it's their stuff.
Okay, I like that. That's pretty cool.
It's cheesy. It's crunchy. It's a nice thing to do.
No, if you're gonna, you know, invest in something quality, you may as well try to make it as ethical as you can.
And I honestly feel like they try to do that. And it's a nice company to work for. I just have way too many jobs. I have a full-time job. I have my own business already.
She has a kid.
I have a kid. I have a husband. I got four animals. I just had a cat outside that decided to become our cat. I got too much going on to have that many jobs. But I love talking about it. I love sharing it because it has helped me so much. So she sent me this bag of random little samples. And I didn't even use them on myself at first. My son got a fever. And he rarely gets sick. But he was like 2.5, I think, at the time. And he got this 104-degree fever. It was bad. And Tylenol wasn't working. And Motrin wasn't working. And I was like, oh, she sent me peppermint. She said dilute it and put it at the bottom of his feet. And 20 minutes later, his fever went down 2 degrees. Now, it had been quite a while since we had administered Tylenol and Motrin, like longer than
five or six hours.
Right. And I said, this is intriguing. And then it went up again a little bit because he was fighting something off. We did it again. I got a little... I think that's like 103 again. We gave him Tylenol, and it seems like in conjunction,
look, you can do both things at the same time.
Like, I'm never not gonna have Tylenol in my house. I don't think you should live off it because your liver and kidneys are eventually going to hate you and you die. But I don't see why it has to be one or the other. I don't understand why they can't coexist. And then I started using some for my headaches, and they helped a lot.
So what helps you with your migraines?
So frankincense is like my favorite oil of all time because it just does so much. But I do ingest some oils. I'm very sparing with it, but I always ingest with the carrier oil because straight oil is just not something.
So do this at your own risk is basically what she's saying.
Yeah,
do
your research. I always do a drop and then coconut oil on the roof of my mouth because that helps me. And I feel better about it. It's easier for your body to absorb when it's with an oil.
But are you careful about that with kids?
I don't let my son ingest oils. There's no reason for him to. He's 4 and a half. He has his own oils. Like, they're already pre-diluted, and he knows exactly. He knows the one with the blue top is for owies, and he knows the one with the red top is when he doesn't feel good. He knows the purple top is for sleep. But I don't think there's any reason for him to ingest. And I rarely do. It's really only for migraines.
I remember you saying something about lemon oil once.
I like lemon oil. So citrus, you got to look at it this way. What do you usually consume on a daily basis? Most people are very familiar with citrus in their body's used to it. So I don't personally think it's like nutty to put a drop of lemon in your water, but water and oil don't mix so that you'll literally see the drop just sitting there floating around. You got to actually put a drop or two of coconut oil to make it sort of all mix up correctly. I don't think that's a weird thing to do. But your body, like, have you ever had frankincense before? Like, as part of your daily, have you ever myrrhed before? Like, how often do you eat lavender? I mean, so things like that.
Well, there are some lavender baked goods and stuff, but yes. But
how often do you do it? So your body's not used to it.
Well, I guess that makes sense too. Like, if you make like lavender tea from lavender flowers, there's going to be natural oils in that. Yeah?
Right. But a drop of lavender is going to be extensively more potent than your lavender tea. I mean, it is condensed oil. The bottle of lemon oil has like 50 or 60 lemons or something in it. That's crazy. It's so potent. You have to be careful. And something like frankincense and myrrh and all these things you don't normally consume, you don't want to shock your body. You also don't want to potentially develop an allergy to it. And taking it with a carrier oil means that it's easier for your body to absorb. And
it's also diluted.
Right. And I don't want to develop an allergy to frankincense because when I have a migraine, that's the first thing I do. And then through time, I have found oils that help me personally.
So like what?
So my migraine rollerball, so I get a tall, like, glass. Oil should always go in glass. They will eat the plastic. Not a good thing. You don't want that. I do frankincense. I do peppermint, lavender, lemon, sometimes clary sage. That's really good for hormones. So if it's like a period migraine, that's great. And wild orange. And I find that rolling that on the back of my neck and on my temples really, really helps me. Copaiba is also an oil I use a lot, and it's like a natural hemp oil. So it's sort of like CBD.
Called?
Copaiba.
Copaiba.
And okay. It's kind of like a CBD oil. Like, it's a hemp oil, but it's way less expensive.
Well, it's a hemp oil, but it's not a cannabinoid.
Right, there's no THC in it, you know, none of that. Just like,
and technically, cannabinoids are also not supposed to have THC, but they can test small amounts, which is why I don't mess with them, because...
Right.
Nurse.
Yeah.
Drug test.
Gotta be careful with that stuff, even though hemp oil is not...
That's a totally different thing.
But it doesn't do act quite like CBD does, but it's similar, and it's great for pain. It's great for anxiety. So I actually use that anytime I have pain anywhere. I rub it in. doTERRA came out with these soft gels with copaiba in it that are wrapped in there. So they're gelatin. So there's your oil base. There's your safe, like, diluting. And I take them during my period when I have a bad migraine. And they really help my cramps. They really help my head. So I like that a lot. But there's so many oils that do similar or the same things. It really is a personal preference. Do you like the smell? I hate lavender. Lavender can suck it.
See, I love lavender. You know that.
I feel like everything smells like lavender now. Like, they make lavender scented, like, toilet cleaner.
That's true. And a lot of that lavender stuff, like poo-pourri lavender does not smell like lavender.
Oh, no. I don't know what that is, but it's not.
It's not lavender. No.
And P.S., if you like poo-pourri, make your own with essential oils. Get some witch hazel. Mix it up.
Really?
Easy peasy.
Oh.
Witch hazel, water.
Well, how come poo-pourri is, like, opaque?
I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure it's got to be a shelf life thing, whatever they're putting in there, but you can make your own. I make little glass, I have tons of tiny little glass bottles that I make sprays in all the time. Like, upstairs right now, I have an anti-lice spray for Lincoln, and it's got basil and rosemary and Melaleuca, or tea tree. I don't know why they say Melaleuca, they just changed it. but I spray that in his hair all the time.
And tea tree's great. I have psoriasis, and tea tree stuff has been really helpful.
So good for skin stuff. But I, yeah, make your own. Poopery's expensive. Sorry, Poopery, I love you, but you're expensive, and you can make your own. But there's, it's personal preference. So lavender is really nice for bruises and skin issues. It's great for your hair. It's great for your nails. It helps most people, unless you're my son, sleep. But Petitgrain, they call it the man's lavender, which I freaking hate. Let's not go down that road, though. Blue and pink. My son wears pink, and he's very happy about it. Pink is a boy color, too.
I think pink was originally a boy color.
It's just a color. How about just a color?
High heels were also first
off and hose and hair and makeup. Yeah. It's just colors, people. But Petitgrain smells like pickles. It's got this sour, pungent, delicious pickle smell. And I tend to gravitate towards the manly oils, the masculine oils.
Yeah, I don't use Old Spice anymore because, like, I try to get more natural, vegan-friendly deodorants. But, like, I love the men's deodorants. I'm also doing the air quotes now.
Yeah. I like it, too. I'm not a floral stuff.
I'm using Arm & Hammer these days, which I actually really like. You want to check that out?
I use a native. So I use, like, a vegan. I think it's vegan, but there's no... It's expensive, but it lasts forever.
I've tried a bunch of the crunchy ones, and they almost always give me a rash.
Oh, you gotta detox your pits. It takes a while. And I do the baking soda ones. Not the baking soda, the arrowroot ones, usually. And they're
okay.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I've switched to the Arm & Hammer, and I like them. But
I guess that's another way I'm kind of crunchy.
Again, I don't think it
hurts to get rid of... Like, look, first of all, everything has chemicals. I hate when people say there's no chemicals. Everything's a freaking chemical.
It's your water is a chemical.
Toxins and... Stuff you don't necessarily need, you should stay away from. But yeah, Petitgrain smells like pickles. And I like that. I like the sour stuff. I like the woodsy
stuff. The briny.
And it does the same thing as lavender. So I'd rather use that. So it becomes personal preference. And you sort of, like when people ask me to make something for them because they have some kind of issue, and I get a lot of weird requests. I have a skin tag. I have an old scar. I have stomach issues, I get headaches, I have anxiety, I don't sleep, whatever it is, I become a mad scientist. And I'm like, okay, I have to make them at least two different things that smell completely differently because you don't know how people are going to react. My migraine blend might not work for you as well. Maybe you need more of this or less of this, or maybe that smell bothers you. There's an oil blend they make called Past Tense, you know, because tense, get it? You know. Because your neck is tense and you want to get rid of it. And it is so cilantro heavy. And not everybody wants to smell like cilantro. I like it on my neck muscles and like my scapular region. And it really kind of melts the tension away. But I smell like guacamole all day.
I mean, I'm into it.
I don't care anymore. Like, I'd rather feel good and I don't care how I smell. But not everybody is going to like that. So I like how flexible oils can be. And you figure it out and try a little bit at a time. Now, I started with two oils.
What were they?
Peppermint and On Guard. And On Guard is like, have you ever heard of thieves oil?
Yeah.
Like Young Living makes thieves. So the story goes that during the Black Plague.
I think the story's been debunked, but it's still
cute.
Yeah,
I like it. I don't care if it's been debunked or not. I think it's cute. They're like... Apparently, merchants and whatever, sea merchants, didn't get sick as often because they slathered themselves in oils to help, like, I guess, an antibacterial, antifungal, whatever.
Also,
blend.
Protect against the elements, too.
Right. Well, out in the sea, like, it's harsh. You're cold, you're wet, you're who knows what the hell you're actually eating. It's crazy life. So, On Guard is basically supposed to be like that blend. It smells like Christmas in a bottle. It's cinnamon and cardamom and all these heavy. Christmas smell. It smells like a wreath, like when people get the scented wreath. And I started using that as my perfume every day, and I wasn't getting sick as often. Now, look, I switched careers a couple of months after I really got heavy into oils. My stress level went down, and I'm sure that helped. I started watching what I was eating better for cholesterol issues, and I'm sure that helped. And just stress, taking stress away from your life affects your body so much. Seltzer I stopped drinking for the most part because
really?
I noticed it was giving me headaches.
Aww.
I don't know if it was the bubbles, because I love seltzer. I don't drink soda. I just love seltzer. But when I stopped drinking it as much.
Yeah, you're such a seltzer person.
I know. I miss it. But I noticed if I had lemon water all day instead, lemon is really good for your cholesterol, levels. It's really good for your headaches.
Lemon water is also, like, I know people are like, lemon water can fix everything. It is actually great for kidney stones, too, because of the acid.
Lemon is really good for you in general, and it makes you happy.
It's not good for your teeth, though. Yeah, it can wear down, like, any of the acidic
situations. Always got to be something.
It's always got to be something. That's why you need, but, like, a variety in your diet.
Yes, moderation. But
also, I mean, I was going to ask you about this. We're kind of segueing into it naturally. The psychological aspect of using oils.
I think it's like using anything, right? So when you run, you know that you're giving your body what it needs, exercise, you're helping your heart, whatever, but it also helps your brain relax. Like, I know running always feels like therapy to me. It feels like I went to a therapy session. I don't know what it is, because I'm not thinking about anything exciting usually when I run. I'm just listening to music and hoping that I can make it around, you know, the block and not die. But my head feels better. I feel mentally relaxed.
Well, there's actually, like, physiological stuff. There's endorphins and there's all that. But, like, I'm thinking about
like, the placebo effect?
Yeah. And I'm a big believer in the placebo effect. I talk about this on my podcast a lot. I love the placebo effect.
I think
it's... Or the nocebo effect, for that matter.
If it's not harmful, I don't see the issue with it. Like, I'm not saying you should go spend $5,000 in oils. I'm not doing that, and neither should you. But if you find something that helps you and it's not hurting you, I don't really see the issue with it. I mean, whatever your choice of placebo effect is. For me, I would say that I have tried so many things to get rid of migraines. I've tried, I still get massages every month because I have to, because my back is so terrible. And that I know helps me. But acupuncture helped me. Stretching out with certain gizmos and gadgets help me. Hot baths are like my favorite things, and I do put oils in my baths.
What do you put in your baths?
All kinds of crap. I like mint. I like citrus. Some people are real sensitive to those things, and it can be burny, so always test first.
Yeah, how is, for those of us with innie bits, how does that, are the oils bad for gynecological issues, or have you not noticed anything?
I haven't had any downstairs issues with that. But again, like, always talk to your doctor. Doctors are great. They're good. They're there. They're educated. They're there for a reason. But I use all kinds. I like bergamot. I like petigrade. Marjoram is like the bee's knees in the bath. I know marjoram is a spice in the back of your cabinet that you never use. Me too. But it's really good for muscles and aches and soothing pains. And Epsom salts are great because they kind of absorb it. Actually, I know a lot of people that make little, like, Tupperwares of Epsom salts, and they put their oils in so it all absorbs, and then they scoop in their bath.
That makes sense, because I've seen, like, lavender Epsom salts.
Oh, and lavender.
Stuff. I think I've seen a couple others. My old roommate used to do a lot of Epsom salt soaks after long shifts at a fancy bar, so.
But I love baths, and they help me a lot. And every time, like, my husband decides I need a bath, he will just randomly put stuff in. So the other day he put cassia in, which is like a cinnamon, and I was like, you want me to bathe in cinnamon? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why? He's like, I put cinnamon in there, and I put peace. Peace is actually a sweet Lang Lang blend. It's actually the oil that most nurses use to calm the crap down at work, oddly enough. And something else, and I was like, what did you do? This smells like I'm in like a floral, like cinnamon gum world. But it was really relaxing. So I put a lot of various things in the bath. It has to be something that you can apply topically, though, because some stuff you can only diffuse. But I do all kinds of stuff.
So, yeah, I guess some more guidelines. I know this is all stuff people can find online, but as we mentioned, there's so much conflicting information about oils, and like anything, you have to be careful about where you're getting your information from.
Right.
So I trust the research that you've done, because you're pretty serious about this kind of thing. So, like, what are some oils that you should or should not use in certain applications?
So mint, you should always be careful of and test a piece of your skin, like an area of your skin first, because some people have very sensitive skin, and like a peppermint, even a spearmint, which is much gentler than peppermint, can... I don't want to say burn, that sounds really serious, but it can inflame your skin and hurt a lot. Citrus, you should never wear in the sun. You can get chemical burns from lemon, orange, bergamot, petigrane, anything citrusy, if you wear it in the sun, is dangerous, and you should never, ever, 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 I don't care what brand it is, every brand will tell you not to do that. And then there are things called hot oils, so thyme, and oregano, wintergreen, some of the firs, like they burn. They really hurt.
So what would you use those for? Is that more for diffusion?
Some of them, like wintergreen, I've never applied topically. I know you can. I would probably just put it in a blend because it's really potent. Oregano is great if you're sick. You'll smell like an Italian kitchen for a while. But I will put oregano on the bottom of my feet with socks on when I don't feel well. I will put it on the lower part of my spine if I don't feel well. But I'm diluting the crap out of that because it is disgusting. It stinks and it hurts. One thing I like about doTERRA is that their bottles actually are really very heavy on instructions. So if it says essential oil supplement, that means you can ingest it. If it doesn't, you know absolutely not. And most of them tell you exactly how to use it, if you can use it topically or if you should diffuse. Almost every single oil you can, every oil you can diffuse. Almost every oil you can use topically, but you should always test an area first. Because
with a carrier oil? Like test with the carrier oil that you plan to use?
Because you never know what you're sensitive to. Humans are sensitive to all kinds of stuff. I don't like soy. All kinds of random stuff you have to stay away from because your body just doesn't dig it. You should always test it first. And ingesting, some people ingest all day, every day, 8 billion things. It's just not my speed. I only do it if I really need to. But like I said, everybody's different about it. Some people put oils in their water all day. I don't get it. It just sits there. I just don't understand not mixing it up. Like, you can see the drop not moving. But if you put a tiny bit of coconut oil in, which you can't even taste, and mix it around, then you see it. But then it looks like weird greasy water. So I don't know. You got to do you.
I guess to kind of bring it a little bit more towards, I guess, the podcast general theme, are there any oils that you or other people have seem to find useful for any kind of spiritual use? Or
I have a couple different what I call mommy timeout oils that are good for my mental health.
So kind of get you back into like a calmer space.
So vetiver, which I talked about earlier, which is really good for sleep, is also a very, very soothing oil. There have been a couple studies recently actually use it with children with ADHD, just smelling it throughout the day and how focused and calming and how much it helps them. So,
and that could also be part of a routine for those kids too. Right. And routine is so important for people with sensory issues.
Yes. So I love vetiver for that. And then other oils that kind of bring me back, like citrus is my favorite thing. It's, if I could pick any oil, it's always going to be citrus because it makes me happy. Think of, if you go to the store to buy like a face wash, they almost all are citrus scented because it wakes you up and makes you feel happy in the morning. So I like citrus oils for that. There's a couple different blends I like, but I personally go towards those citrus and woodsy blends. And if I have citrus or woodsy, I immediately feel better. If I don't have any of that on hand, I go right to Copaiba. It smells weird. It is not the best smelling oil, but for anxiety and stress, it brings me back really, really fast. And it helps. Obviously, I also have to tell myself, calm down. I have to focus on my breathing. I have to get to a place where I can be by myself. That's why oils are part of your kit. That's cheesy, but it's part of your toolkit.
That's not cheesy at all.
Everybody has a health kit, right? So whether it's exercise and food and sleep and water, it's a part of it. It's not going to fix your life, but it might be another step that helps you. Just like going for a run makes you feel better, and having a nice healthy meal at the end of the day makes you feel better. It all works together. Everything can coexist.
Sounds fake, but okay.
It does. It can. And then guess what? If you're not feeling well and you have an upper respiratory infection and you've tried using a blend of eucalyptus and mint and it's helping you breathe, but you're still not getting rid of the infection, go get some antibiotics.
Or go to the doctor and see if it is something that needs antibiotics.
Maybe it's just allergies. Maybe you're stressed out.
Maybe it's viral. Who knows?
But right. Maybe you need to change the filter in your air conditioning. Maybe you need to vacuum up the carpet. Maybe you're having a reaction to a food you ate that you didn't know you were sensitive to. But the doctor's not the enemy. They will help you. And in fact, my allergist, I went to an allergist a few months ago in the spring because I was having endless allergies, and it's something that I've only experienced over the last few years. Turns out that we didn't know where our filter was in the house, and once that changed, that helped a lot. But he even told me different oils I should be taking. Oh. He was like, he asked me, because I didn't know him, I didn't have a relationship with him yet, he's just some random specialist I'm seeing, and he asked me what other natural things I had looked into, and he was all about the neti pot, which I love.
I use the squeeze bottle, not the pot, but I, same thing. Oh. It's so helpful. When I'm super congested, it's one of the only things that helps. I do it once in the morning and then once before I go to bed. And 2 or 3 days, the congestion's gone.
It just helps so much.
And it's so unpleasant, but...
It is. It is a gross experience, but...
It's super helpful.
When you're miserable, you'll do just about anything. And he talked to me about peppermint and eucalyptus. And I was like, oh, I have those oils. I sometimes put a drop or two at the very edge of my shower.
Yeah.
And I sit in the bathroom and I steam and I breathe those in. It creates like this a giant diffuser, basically.
Well, sometimes you can get like sprigs of eucalyptus to put in the mm-hmm. shower too. Yeah.
Which, I mean, also great. If you have stuff in the backyard you can pull or grab from somewhere, that's wonderful too. It's the same thing, just one's more potent than the other. But I find that the more I talk to my doctors about it, the more open they are about it. As long as I'm telling them what I'm doing, so they are aware, so nothing interferes with any medication they might prescribe me. So they're not against it, most of them. So it's a nice relationship to have. They can coexist.
Hopefully everyone heard that last part. She was reminding you they can coexist. All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
This has been super fun. So before we sign off, is there anywhere that people should find you if they want to chat with you about this, or any resources that you suggest for people who want to look into more oil stuff?
Yep. I always am happy to answer questions. Like I said, I'm mostly here for helping educate people. It's just one of my dorky things that I love to do. But we have a Facebook page. It's called Oil Invaders, and it's a really happy, safe space of people that some are brand new to oils, some have been using them for years and years. It's a nice mix of people. It's a great place to just ask questions, and you'll get a bunch of replies of people saying, this worked for me, but this worked for me. It's a real safe space to learn and grow and not feel like you're going to be surrounded by people that tell you never to go to the doctor again.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Adios.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to us chat and ramble. I really enjoy talking to Lisa about essential oils, and I feel a lot more informed about them. They're still not something I use a lot in my personal practice, both for physical things and mental things. But I know that a lot of my listeners might be interested, so here we are. If you enjoyed this and you want to support me, I do want to say the number one way to support me is actually not financial at all. Your emails mean the world to me. Whenever I get an email, and I get them more frequently than I ever anticipated I would, that someone's enjoying the podcast and it means a lot to them, and it really just makes my whole day and reminds me of why I'm doing this. I also really, really appreciate engagement on Facebook and Instagram. If you like my pages on there, I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on both. It's two words on Facebook and one word on Instagram. You know, like my pages, comment on my stuff, tell me what you're up to, tell me what decks you have, the same that I have, or what you like about what I posted, or, you know, I guess you can also criticize me, but if you'd be kind and do that privately, unless I really need to be called out, in which case, do whatever you need to do. You know, there's that. But yes, engagement in general really, really means a lot to me. And the connections that I've made from people like you listening, even people who've never spent money, it means a lot. So thank you. But if you do want to spend money on me, I'm not going to say no to your cash. So in person, I will be at the next Jersey City Oddities Market on October 13th. It's going to be a great show. And we're going to have a live other card slinger slinging other kinds of cards, not my kinds of cards. But maybe he'll have a pack of cards. Who knows? So you can also check back. I'm hoping to have my interview with that card slinger up for the first episode of October. I know back-to-back interviews, but I won't be doing an interview for mid-October. So you have given you some preparation. So yes, you can come to that market, get a reading from me in person. If you're in the New York City, New Jersey, Philly area, you have some notice. It's a Sunday, October 13th at Harborside Atrium. Check out my Instagram for more info on that. But if you don't use Instagram, email me and I'll give you all the deets. It's going to be fantastic. If you are nowhere near the New York, New Jersey area, I don't blame you. It's hard to live here. Also, just the space-time continuum is what it is. So I have my Etsy. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Etsy, and I will be revamping that Etsy very soon. So you know, you'll hopefully see some new decks and some new readings on there. But I have a whole selection right now, and I'll definitely be doing some kind of sale for October. I'm supposed to do a sale for my birthday. That didn't happen. But that's okay, because I wound up being wildly busy in July. So yeah, you can find me on Etsy. And of course, I have my Patreon. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Patreon. $1 a month gets you, you know, access to my Discord where we chat, and there's a nice little group of people. When you get up to $5 a month, you start earning larger readings. I may even be running a new patron sale later this year where $10 a month can get you some readings, so stay tuned. I'm not sure about that and the logistics of that yet. We're going to see how my job as a nurse goes. But $20 a month gets you monthly readings from me. And it's still a pretty good deal because you get all the other access and content. So if you become a patron of mine, I really value my patrons, even the ones who have not been able to make it a permanent thing. And they help make this podcast possible because it costs money to host this. And it costs time to make this. So I really appreciate all of your support always. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I'll chat with you later. Bye.